reading from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Oh, I know I'm going to be ringing your bell, Jason, but before you can get fired up, because I know you've been preaching on Isaiah and God has been using that in your own life, the reading, the study, the preparation, the delivering the message in special ways. And so before we talk a little maybe about Isaiah and revival and holy, 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 and being saved before serving. You had a unique message in your sermon on Sunday about how Isaiah was aware of his sin. And we all have to come to that point of recognizing our sin, our fallen nature, our need for God before he's going to send us out and serve. So ruminate on a few of those things. I know it won't take more than just saying Isaiah and then you're ready to deliver a message or two. But some people the last few days have asked me, hey, what's with this 2020 challenge or the 2020 campaign? I've heard you say in the past that over these 19 years, now into your 20th year, you've never had like share-a-thons, you never preempted programs or had really big fundraising campaigns. And so that's for the most part true. We've never had a share-a-thon in the fall or in the spring, never preempted programming to raise funds. But there have been times we've had some campaigns to raise needed funds for new transmitters or building the tower, or our one time we had a $100,000 big check fund. So over the years, yes, we have used some campaigns to raise funds, mainly to raise awareness to our listeners of what's going on. And so this past Tuesday, we celebrated the 19th birthday of Great News Radio. And by the end of the week, I was starting to have some impressions on my mind and heart as we're entering our 20th year. And in fact, it was on Wednesday where you said, yes, Mark, it's now officially the 20th yep. year that you're serving. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because we've finished 19 years. We're into the 20th year. And so I started thinking about the vision for the future. You and I have talked some about it. I've met with some of our board members. And as I was thinking about the vision for the future and laying the groundwork and seed money and how to continue with broadcasts of excellence that are God-honoring and yet accomplishing his will, I started thinking about that 2020 vision, you know. And then I started thinking 20th year, maybe if we had people donating $20 over the next 20 months, it would be a unique way to allow some people to get involved and be a part of things and know that their money is used for the Lord's work. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be meeting with the board formally to go over all these specifics. But I wanted to alert some of our listeners so they're thinking, now, what are these funds needed for? Or what would they go towards? Or why are you having a campaign? And so there are some very specific things we do need that are outside of our operating budgets and the day-to-day donations that come in. So I thought I'd just highlight them for a minute before we talk about holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But as many of you know, we have a unique situation with our station with a small staff. We rely heavily on our equipment that we use and some of it that allows the broadcast to work with the satellite feeds and the network programming is near the tail end of its usefulness, around 7 years. And Phil Shepherd with the Moody Broadcasting Network has said, Mark, you should begin retiring some of that equipment. And that would be about a $15,000 to $20,000 cost for the components that we'll need to replace what we're currently using. There's also an item that can be put into our, as they call it, our air chain that allow people that have car radios. So as people are driving along, it'll list the song and a message from the station and the artist. And so that could be very helpful. That's about a $3,000 to $5,000 acquisition and then the engineer and put it in. But that's something that I've thought about for a few years that it'd be nice to be able to put into our system. So as you're driving along, it'll list the song and it'll highlight the program. Like if it's David Jeremiah, it'll list his name. Our transmitter's been running fine for the last 15, 18, 20 years. But at some point, I'm sure in the next few years, there'll be some additional repairs and replacements of some of the components, which I estimated about a $3,000 to $12,000 cost. And in both of the transmitters, there's these optomods, and that kind of regulates the frequency. It kind of attenuates the signal, so if it's too hot or not hot enough, it balances out so it's a cleaner sound. Well, both of them were used when we purchased them for WGNN's sake over 19 years ago, and then WGNJ 16 years ago. So at some point, probably in the next few years, we're going to have to replace them. And that's about a $9,000 to $14,000 expense. And then here in the home studio, as you're very familiar, most everything in here is original. It's about 20 years old. And so at some point here, some of these are going to give up the ghost, as they say. And
the Beatles used that mixing board, didn't they?
Yeah, this is nowadays, it's about a quarter of the size of these.
At our church, they run it on an iPad.
Yeah.
We don't even use that.
Yeah, this is needing to be replaced at some point. Now, it's still workable, but the cost of the mixer board would be somewhere between $4,000 and $7,000. The microphones between $1,000 and $3,000. The high-tech kind of computer with the deluxe sound card is anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000. You'll see this call-in device, but that's kind of antiquated. So when we do phone calls with interviews of people out of town or out of state or out of country for that matter, that's about a $700 to $1,500 cost. And then both these CD players are both 20 years old. And I think about 5 or 7 years ago, I looked to try to replace them. And they don't even make this kind where it's just single play and ideal for our on-air system. But those will be probably somewhere between $450 and $1,200. And then some of the other incidentals, we desperately need a laptop so when I'm out of the studio or traveling, we can access all the equipment and the computers. That's probably $600 to $1,400. The singing men, those of you that have a heart for the ministry of the singing men of GNN, we need to upgrade the sound system. We've been using that for 17 years, and we've always wanted a choir shell. So behind our risers, it would be kind of a backstop so the sound would move forward, and we've done some cost estimates on that, and it's between $8,000 and $14,000. Always looking for some seed money for the hiring of some potential staff, maybe part-time to begin with. I've identified a few people that have volunteered or want to help, or like Joey Kroll in his case, maybe add him on for additional hours, but it would be nice to have some money for that. And then long-term funding to ensure the continuation of this radio ministry. And in fact, last week we were contacted by an individual that wanted to know about estate planning and putting us in their will, and we treasure that they would think long-term and the tax benefits of including us in their will, kind of as an adopted child, where they're taking us on. So those are some of the things this 2020 campaign is desiring people to get involved. Maybe you've never given before, and you could commit to $20 for the next 20 months. That would be at like a $400 commitment over the next 20 months. Or some of you might say, hey, I don't want to hassle with 20 months of $20. I'll give you $400 all at once, or maybe four payments of $100. Or actually, it doesn't matter whether it's a $5 gift or a $5,000 gift. They'll all go towards acquiring some of this equipment that's needed to improve our signal and transfer of signals. So those are some of the reasons why I think hopefully the Lord put it on my heart to come up with a 2020 campaign. And if you'd want to be a part of that, begin today with writing a check to Great News Radio and address that envelope to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And one of my passions and desires is to educate, edify, and evangelize. And Isaiah was all about those three things, too. In fact, he was desiring to bring revival to the Jewish people, to the country of Israel, named after one of their founders, I guess, Jacob, right? Yeah. And so I don't know how God will continue to use our ministry in the days ahead, but Lord willing, as we proclaim his son, as we honor his word, as we provide a supplement to people going to church, something that they can listen to and grow through and be encouraged through our broadcasts, we'll be in the center of God's will, and then we'll always encourage people to be involved in a local body of believers, a local church congregation where that's God's bride. So that's first and foremost where he wants you, but I hope that our radio ministry will continue to be able to supplement teaching and, you know, help people in the middle of the night or when the pastor's not available. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate your support, and be praying for this radio ministry as we make some decisions for the days ahead. One other thing about the home studio, those of you that have been been tuned in for any period of time for the last 19-plus years. I've been fortunate to have the studio right here in my home. So many times when studio guests come out, they come out to our 8 acres in the woods, and it's been wonderful. But God, I think, is turning my heart and is working through some of our board to entertain the idea maybe it's time to have an accessible studio somewhere else. And so we're praying up some options and seeking God's leading. I have a few ideas, but we want to know where God will have us in maybe the days ahead so that we can have more of you involved, and we'll see what God does with a new studio for Great News Radio in the days ahead. So be praying up this radio ministry. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.
Yeah,
Isaiah, am I ringing your bell?
Isaiah chapter 6. I thought you had a different transition there. Isaiah chapter 6, yeah. I preached on this last Sunday, a well-known passage. I mean, I think that for many people, when they think about passages in the Bible, when Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me," you know, missions organizations, different things have used that verse so much. We've seen that verse so much that it's become well-known. But I think some of the other things around in the passage are things that we miss. And actually, I think, Mark, we'll probably have to break this up. Maybe we'll have to preempt our Acts study on Friday because there's just so much to talk about. In fact, when I preached this sermon, I had extra papers kind of there because there were things that I, just time-wise, you couldn't fit in that were so important. Because this is really, Isaiah 6, the calling of Isaiah, is such an important moment. Now, Isaiah has preached 5 chapters in the book of Isaiah so far, and they've been judgment and woes upon the people of Jerusalem and Judah. And they've been incredibly tough chapters to go through. I mean, talking about this great day of the Lord, this judgment that is going to come on the house of Israel, and even this lament in chapter 5 from God, who says, "You know, let me sing of my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill," and God begins to just sing this song to Israel about, you are my bride, you are my vineyard, I loved you, I did everything there was to do for you, and you didn't listen. You didn't pay attention. You didn't love me back. You just became wayward.
Are there some allusions, or I'm just looking at it again, like a Song of Solomon? It's almost kind of like a love song or a special intimate.
Well, the Lord wrote through inspiration, the Holy Spirit, the whole entire Bible. Mm-hmm. So I tell people all the time when they say, "This sounds like this," and I go, "Because it has the same author."
Right.
You know, I mean, even if we have Paul writing these books, or we have Timothy writing, you know, or we have Peter, or we have Isaiah, or we have whatever, you know, Solomon, it still is the same author, the core author, which is God's Holy Spirit, which is the reason we see this continuing pattern through Scripture. And by the way, it is the living word. It's the Logos. It's Jesus. So Jesus is speaking to us through the living word. Jesus is the word. But in order to understand Isaiah, we have to understand where Isaiah is living at and what's happening when Isaiah is being called here. Now, the reason that Isaiah 6 kind of falls later in Isaiah, now it's Isaiah's calling before God sends him out to pronounce and prophetically bring these judgments. Why it happens there is because we've seen 5 chapters of God pronouncing through Isaiah that there is a problem. And now we're going to see that Isaiah was gifted to be able to do this, because before he pronounced a single woe on the people of Jerusalem and Judah, he pronounced one upon himself. So it tells us that Isaiah is thoroughly qualified to bring this word of the Lord to the people. But it begins in chapter 6 where it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died." And this is really important. In fact, you almost miss it because it just says, "In the year King Uzziah died." And for many of us, we read that and we think, okay, that's fact. That's just fact. That's just setting up the story. It's giving us some historical context for a moment there. It's kind of laying some fabric for us to understand when this happens. But let's get to what happens with Isaiah. We have to understand Uzziah, because Uzziah reigned for about 52 years. So for Isaiah's generation, Uzziah was probably the only king they ever knew. The only king they absolutely ever knew. It was the only person. Just think, if you grew up you were born during the Reagan years, and Reagan was the only president you ever knew. I mean, you didn't know any other presidents. You just knew Reagan.
And he didn't just serve 4 or 8 years.
He served 52 years. And you would say, "Well, that's the only one I know." And so we have to understand a few things about Uzziah. But first and foremost, I think it's really important to understand about the Bible. Because, you know, we can often make much of ourselves. And I love in the Bible how you've got people who, Uzziah was a good king for the most part. The end didn't go so hot. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But no matter how good he was, he lives and he dies in a sentence, less than a sentence. The same with King David. Go look at King David's story. He lived and he died. He was buried with his fathers. The same with Solomon. The same with all these different people. They live and they die. And in the Bible, within a scant sentence or less than a sentence, they die and the story moves on. Because the story is not about us. The story is about God. The story is about what God does. And God continues. When the man goes home to be with God, the mission continues here. And God just calls more people forward. God is continually calling people to himself and then sending them out on mission. But the year King Uzziah died, well, in order to understand that contextually, we have to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, what we're going to find out is Uzziah, not only is he a good king, but he's kind of an inspirational story. I mean, he'd be the kind of guy you'd want to listen to radio interviews about. He'd be the kind of guy who you'd want to hear about in different magazine articles and things like that, because he's absolutely an inspiration. It says Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecholai of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So he's 16, already kind of a wonder kid. I'm a little bit concerned about that, actually, yeah. Because I look at youth group kids and that, and I think, oh my gosh, you're running a country at 16? I mean, I'm just thinking, wow, I don't know. I don't. You know, you think, you know... You know, we make
even a mature 16. It's like he's still 16.
I know he's still 16. I mean, I just look, you know, Google 16 and see the pictures you see. I think I saw one where they were dragging a couch behind a car and they were all seated on the couch, seeing what would happen. But it says in verse 4, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to what his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So you have this 16-year-old who's kind of actually beyond himself in terms of what we think a 16-year-old, how we just joked. But this guy is actually pretty on it. I mean, he wants to walk in the fear of the Lord. He wants to serve God. He even seeks out a greater man, Zechariah, to guide him in what it means to follow the Lord. But then it says, he went out and he made war against the Philistines, broke through the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabbok, the wall of Ashdod. He built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. The Amorites, in verse 8, paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the borders of Egypt. It says he built towers in Jerusalem. He built towers in the wilderness. He cut many cisterns. He had large herds. He had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. He was a man of the soil, kind of a Renaissance guy. And listen to this, too. He had military victories, and yet the farmers loved him. All the people of different kind of sociological levels loved him.
Didn't he build some armaments? Or...
Yeah, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war, a division. Now listen, men don't follow weak men. So Uzziah, while he loves the soil, kind of a Renaissance guy, he's also a very strong man because men want to follow him, these men who are fit for war. Divisions according to the numbers in the muster. And the muster is 307,500 who can make war with what mighty power, the Bible says. Uzziah prepared for them armies with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, stones for slinging. And in Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men. So he has the farmers love him. The military loves him. The people love him. The skillful men are creating things for his government, for Jerusalem, for Israel in this time. He's well loved. Verse 15, though, is such a heartbreak. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be in the towers of the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Verse 16 goes on to say, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. What ends up happening with Uzziah is that he goes into the temple. He begins to think that he can do anything. And so he goes into the temple and he lights incense. And the Levite priests say, don't do this. You are not allowed to do this. The Bible commands you not to do this. You're the king. You're not a priest. And he says, I'm whatever I want to be. And he does it. And the minute he lights the incense, he becomes leprous. And actually, he has to go and kind of live off and not reign anymore. His son takes over. And it's a very sad ending to a very prosperous man. You know, it reminded me of something as I was reading it. And I Googled this. And I just want to read it to you and see if you notice the parallels. I don't know if you've heard this story, but there's a story of a talented young man from the Peoria, Illinois area who began working in the fifth grade doing database management as an independent contractor for a bookstore chain. He's the same young man who later bought event tickets from a licensed ticket broker using 6 phone lines and 13 credit cards, investing his earnings in the stock market. In eighth grade, he began doing accounting work for a gravel pit, a job he kept throughout his high school years. At 14, he had his own individual retirement account. By a junior year of high school, he had completed nearly all his graduate graduation requirements. School district policy did not allow him, though, to graduate early, so the board members then had to refuse his request to change that policy. He began attending classes at community college in East Peoria, earning dual credits towards high school and college graduation, which he graduated from in 2000. After graduating from high school, this young man felt that the board needed a more diverse and youthful perspective, this being the school board. Unfortunately, he didn't get on the ballot because he didn't have the required number of valid signatures on his petition, so he organized a successful writing campaign using more than 200 volunteers who visited more than 13,000 households. He defeated the incumbent 60-40%, becoming at 19 years of age the youngest person to serve on a school board in Illinois. In 2 years, his fellow board members elected him vice president of the board, and a year later, he became the youngest ever school board president in Illinois history. He received his bachelor's of science in finance from Bradley University, and during his time here, he invested in a real estate company and ran Garage Tech, a garage organizing business, which he sold as a franchise in 2004 for $600,000. It was then that he set his sights on politics, becoming the first member of the U.S. Congress who was born in the 1980s. At the time that he took his seat in 2009, he was the youngest member of Congress ever. In March 17th of 2015, after controversy over his federal funds, Aaron Schock announced his resignation from Congress, effective March 31st. You know, there's great hope put in Aaron Schock, but he was just a man. And he did well, and his fame spread far and wide as we read that. And he was marvelously helped till he grew strong, till he grew proud. You see, the story of Uzziah is an important story for us to hear, because the story of Uzziah is a story that is inside of all of us. We see it in this man. I mean, gosh, when I read that for the first time, that kind of bio for Aaron Schock, I thought, wow, what a gifted man. Not only what a gifted man, but wow, how God could have used him in powerful ways. And yet, just like all of us, what can happen is when we grow strong, we grow proud. And when we go proud, we move towards our own destruction. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, one of the most important things I think happened was what we're going to talk about on Friday, is that the myth of the man died with the man. And then in that moment, Isaiah saw something that he had not seen prior.
Tune in, everyone. This Friday, we'll start right away in Isaiah chapter 6 and see how God will apply truth from the story into our own lives so we can be equipped to serve him better. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night. I see the Lord. See